Boom, hello, and welcome to Trailer Made.
Not just boom, hello, boom, happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, Jim.
Yeah, we're squeezing one in right before the holidays.
What are you most thankful for this holiday season?
I'm thankful that we're still recording this podcast, however infrequently we are. We're still doing it, and I am thankful for my wife,
boo.
I guess.
Yeah. Boo. You know what I'm thankful for?
What are you thankful for?
Our listeners. Wow.
Yeah, that was the obvious answer to that question.
But I'm the favorite, so I just need to play to my audience. Also thankful that the Tenet trailer dropped today.
Just in time for our recording.
Yeah.
I was about to say, you know, Tenet supposed to drop. Sorry, we're recording now. But hey, it dropped just in time.
You had a feeling too. You messaged me at work and you're like, I think the Tenet trailer is going to come out today. And I was like, how do you know this?
You started hearing more buzz about it this week. They released a first look photo at the movie yesterday. That's usually a sign that the trailer's dropping in a day or two.
You're a sleuth. You're a trailer sleuth.
So the fall movie season is winding down. We're almost done with it. That means that the trailers for the next major season are starting to come out. And those are action blockbusters. I have to say, that's kind of in our wheelhouse.
It's what we call in the biz our comfort zone.
We're going to be talking about the new 007 movie, Wonder Woman 1984, and, as you said, AJ, Tenet, Christopher Nolan's next highly anticipated movie. So get ready for some pulsating orchestral music, some deep bass hits, and get ready for our theme song.
Cue it!
In a world where movie trailers have reached new heights, two semi-competent males will talk about them using microphones. AJ Gutierrez and Jim Schwartz in Trailer Made.
Jim, are you a James Bond guy?
Why would I betray you?
We all have our secrets. We just didn't get to yours yet.
Yeah, I don't think I'm any more so than the average person, but I'm like most people in that I look forward to the next James Bond movie.
So were you excited when this came out?
I was really excited. I don't think I'm like a huge Bond fan, but I am excited in that this is Daniel Craig's last one, and I'm a big fan of the director, Cary Fukunaga.
Same.
This seems to be like a really interesting step up for him. You know, he's been doing some big projects recently. He did the first season of True Detective, for those of you who don't know, and this is like his first like foray into, you know, a franchise filmmaking.
And it's interesting to see it because there's a lot of shots that are very cool and different. And there's that 360 shot that he has,
yeah,
and some other things that are a little dark. And I like the vibe. I like the feel. That's what I'm most excited about too. And just kind of see how this all wraps up. But as far as a trailer goes, I thought it was okay. I didn't think it was that great.
I feel you. I was a little disappointed.
Yeah.
I thought some of the shots were great. I think the issue with it is it's too plot heavy.
Okay, so I'm with you.
It's sluggish.
It tells us way too many things. It starts becoming interesting when you see Rami Malek.
Totally.
That's from there on, I thought it was great. Leading up to, I don't need to know of these things.
I don't need to know all of these story points. I think, you know, you can give a little bit of setup. I understand James Bond is retired at the beginning of the movie, so he's got to get, you know, pulled back into service. You know, you can show a little bit of that. But all the other things it gets into, you know, this past romance that he had with the other Bond girl from the previous movie and her having some secret, and then having to go meet the villain from the previous movie, Christoph Waltz. As much as I like Christoph Waltz, I don't think he's needed in this trailer. Honestly, even for someone who loves trailers and not minding things getting spoiled in the trailer sometimes, I was like, why didn't you just save that scene for the movie? That would have been a cool reveal in the movie.
Agreed. We also don't need the bar scene with the Westworld guy. And also the line delivered is so generic.
What does he say?
He goes, you're the only one I trust for this.
I need a favor, brother. You're the only one I trust for this.
Of course he's the only one you trust for this.
Yeah.
We're going to need you back.
Yeah.
Like, really, for a James Bond trailer, I just need to see what the crazy stunt's going to be. It's a little bit like Mission Impossible now, where you know there's going to be, like, a crazy thing. You kind of want to see that. I want to see great locations. I want to see who the Bond girl is. I want to see the cars.
You're listing out things that I listed out in my notes. Here's what I...
But you need all that time to do it.
I'm with you on all that. You want to see... I wrote down action. You want to just see cool action, cool stunts, whatever.
Check.
Locales.
Right.
You want those exotic locales. You want to know where you're going to go see it.
This had some cool locales. It had that, like, where was it? It was like a cool, like, cabin in Thailand on the water or something. And then the snow stuff was great.
Oh, yeah.
Give me snow stuff.
So, yeah, no, it's delivering on that front.
Okay.
Here's what it's not delivering on. Gadgets.
Yeah, just,
there's not really any tease of any cool new gadget he's got. I feel like that's a big Bond thing. And I went back and actually watched a couple old Bond trailers. And they do usually mention at least one gadget. They're not doing that here.
Like a whoopee cushion.
Yeah. And then you want beautiful people.
Yeah.
Or, you know, beautifully scarred people.
Right.
Either one works. This has that.
Yeah. No, it has the elements.
It's just too much.
It's not a good edit. I think it should be a better edit.
I think it's just, yeah, they should have trimmed it back. When a trailer starts to feel too long, you know you've put too much in. It's just...
Yeah, I was ready for its wrap-up. Rami Malek came in. I thought it was already going to end there. Yeah. And then I was like, oh, this is the movie.
It perks up once you see Rami Malek. I agree. I like the mask he's wearing.
The ice is cool. Ana de Armas comes up. She's great.
Mm-hmm. So I came away from the trailer thinking to myself, the movie looks good.
Same. It was
a bad trailer.
But the movie's going to be great.
Yeah.
And I was talking to people about it. Like, what'd you think of Bond? I thought it was whatever. I was like, I think the movie's going to rock because of the director. Oh, also, question. Did Daniel Craig just look mad to you?
Yeah.
He's just real, just kind of like...
His Bond has been crankier than most.
I'm just waiting for an eye roll.
He's been less the charming, you know, elegant Bond and much more so the...
Gruff grumps.
The angry brute.
Right.
But, yeah, and it's not that the story points are bad for a Bond movie. I understand, like... The Bond movie plots are pretty convoluted and pretty like plot heavy themselves, but that's not what people. Those are besides the point. That's not what people are looking forward to.
Yeah.
They're not looking forward to the different story beats.
Yeah, I don't like. I honestly, and this is probably just me, but I'm just gonna see the movie and I'm not gonna really know what it's about until I'm watching it.
Can you tell me what Spectre is about?
No.
All I know is that Christoph Waltz plays Blofeld.
Yeah.
That's all. And there's a skiing scene.
Same with Skyfall. If Skyfall, I'd be like, the house is burning, and it was kind of like Home Alone.
Javier Bardem's a hacker.
Yeah,
I actually remember Skyfall a little bit better, but I think that movie was particularly good with story, more so than other Bond movies. Most of the Bond plots are just pretty. It's background noise.
Yeah,
it's an excuse to get Bond to go to this awesome locale.
Casino Royale. You can kind. There was the game.
Yeah. We're contradicting ourselves.
Anyway,
we don't go to see them for the plots, though.
No, so don't show us that in the trailer.
Exactly.
Start over.
Give us another trailer, right? Like, give us a tighter trailer. Don't try to show us more. Show us less. Or give us a better sense of, you know, the tone.
Or
the mood.
Give us the footage. Let us make your trailer. We get to watch the movie. We'll make your trailer. It'll be great.
I like that idea. All right, you heard us. Bond producers, Barbara Broccoli.
Yeah, Barbara Broccoli and Chet Scheme.
one of the producers' name is like Barbara Broccoli.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Chet Scheme is a made-up name.
That's definitely a made-up name.
Yeah, it's a good made-up name.
Give us the footage. We'll turn out something great.
Yeah.
What's the next trailer we're going to talk about?
Wonder Woman 1984.
Welcome to the future. Life is good, but it can be better.
And why shouldn't it be?
All you need is to want it.
It's Patty Jenkins.
Yeah.
Gal Gadot's back in it. Chris Pine, who I don't know how his character is brought back for this. Doesn't matter. What they had going on in the last movie was great. So if they found an excuse to
bring
extend that funny romance that goes on between them, bring him back. I'm down. I agree. I think the premise for Wonder Woman 1984 is a good one.
But did you like the trailer?
Huh?
But did you like the trailer?
I did really like the trailer. I think it's a lot better than the 007 one we just reviewed. What about you?
I did. There were elements of it that I thought were a little flat, but I loved the action. I loved the music. The music's fantastic.
The orchestral remix of the 80s pop song.
How does it feel?
How does it feel? I was about to be like, what's it called again? I think just tonally, it nailed it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's fun. It's lighthearted. The action is outlandish. It's just like the first movie, you know? I think it nailed, you know, the trailer was matching the tone of the first movie, which everybody really liked. It's not as dumb as Aquaman. It's just like
Aquaman was
classy enough.
I actually kind of liked Aquaman.
I did not. Aquaman
a
was
separate conversation.
Aquaman was way too dumb.
I was on an airplane. I'm blaming the altitude.
I watched it on an airplane too, and I still thought it was too dumb. And I was like looking at my watch, being like, "When do we land?" Anyways, I'm sorry, we're getting sidetracked.
I was for it too. I thought it was really great. The pace was nice too. The action is so good.
Yeah.
Like, their action sequences are fantastic.
The scene where she somehow gets a truck to flip over, just like in The Dark Knight.
It was like the same time. Yeah,
and then how she comes soaring above the truck, and then you get that Chris Pine shot where he looks up at her.
Dumb Chris Pine face.
do you want to say a few words about Chris Pine?
I do want to say a few words about Chris Pine.
It sounds like you have some disparaging words to say about Chris Pine.
I have a soft spot in my heart for Chris Pine.
I do too.
There's something about him that makes me laugh. Like, he tries really hard.
I genuinely laughed at the end when he looks at the trash can as if it's a piece of art. He delivered that line perfectly.
I don't know what it is, like, because you want to hate him, but then you can't.
Yeah.
And I think it's maybe just he's really trying, and he really cares.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is. I think he genuinely cares. Chris Pine, if you're listening, I know you care. I know you care. I know your heart is filled with passion for acting, and you're a true thespian. And don't let anyone say a bad thing about you, Chris Pine, because here at Trailer Made, we got you back.
That was more positive than I was expecting. I thought you were about to really lash into Chris Pine.
No, I can't.
And I was about to defend him. I was ready to defend him, but you said everything that...
I also just always think about him crying at the Oscars. And
I know. That's
my favorite.
I want to make fun of him for crying at the Oscars. I don't think I'll ever let that go.
You can't. But it's because his heart is so full.
It was also just so random. Of like all the people to show crying to the song from Selma.
And they cut to Chris Pine.
Chris Pine crying.
But I'm glad he's back.
I'm glad he's back too. It's a great cast. So not only are those two main leads back, but you also have Kristen Wiig, who's supposedly going to be the main villain.
I didn't know she was the villain.
She's called Cheetah. I think she's called the Golden Cheetah.
That's a cool name.
You don't really get to see her in evil villain mode here in this trailer.
That's my Netflix password.
Golden Cheetah.
I'll have to change it now.
Yeah, now you do. You got Pedro Pascal.
Love Pedro Pascal. Don't like the wig.
Oh, I like the wig.
I need Pedro Pascal either as his cool Colombian self. Or what is he?
I think he's Chilean.
He's Chilean. Or with the Mandalorian helmet on. But the blonde wig is weird.
I think they did the wig in deliberately to make him look like Trump. I think he's supposed to look like a Trump, like, you know, snake oil salesman.
Interesting.
Someone that you know is not to be trusted, but, you know, somehow wins the power and trust of many different people.
Pedro Pascal's got a big thing going.
He's
blowing up.
Coming off from The Mandalorian and now having a villainous turn in Wonder Woman, it's big.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, good for you, Pedro Pascal. You keep it up.
Hey, we're proud of you. Proud of you, Pedro.
Come a long way.
Good for you.
But no, it's fun to see Kristen Wiig in the mix, too.
Yeah, same.
I'm excited to see her in like a big action movie. I also have to say, one other thing I really liked about this trailer. The golden armor at the end?
Yeah, that was cool.
Fucking awesome.
That was very cool.
I
wasn't even sure that was her. I thought it was like a different...
I don't know. Yeah, I didn't know Wonder Woman had this full-bodied like armor thing, if that's from the comics or if that's something that this movie is introducing. But it just looked really cool. I'm not usually into like superheroes and their costumes. It's beside the point to me, but... That when she came out wearing that, I was like, damn, that looks awesome.
Everything was elevated. I loved also the cutback to the whatever island she's from.
Mm-hmm.
And the horses running with that big wide shot was cool. It feels big. It should feel big. And I think it's going
to
be great.
It's always fun to see a sequel to a successful movie because they can sometimes double down and become even better. I'm thinking, you know, The Dark Knight. Christopher Nolan made Batman Begins. It was very successful. People really liked it. They're like, this Christian Bale guy is going to be a star. And then 3 years later, they come out with The Dark Knight, and it you know, captures the zeitgeist, and it's a huge movie. Everybody loves it. And, you know, it came from, I think, Christopher Nolan having enough success under his belt that he was kind of given more leeway to try out some new things and add an extra dose of something. And he just did all that. He added an extra dose of all the right things in The Dark Knight. And I'm kind of excited to see if Patty Jenkins can do that with this movie. She, you know, made a great first movie that surprised a lot of people. I was surprised to like the first Wonder Woman as much as I did. And so I'm excited to see, you know, with some more power, I'm assuming that she's gotten, what she's going to do with that.
Yeah. I am curious how they came or they landed on shooting in this era with this, you know, 80s fun neon theme.
Yeah, besides just having an excuse to do an 80s set movie.
Exactly.
I like the general idea of having it take place in a different time and place. It would have been, you know, I think with Wonder Woman having introduced her from, you know, World War I, that there's a lot of decades between then and
Justice
now.
League.
So if they would have just like cut to something happening present day, I would have felt like it was a missed opportunity. Like, what's Wonder Woman been doing all these decades? They also kind of explain it in a sneaky way of like how Wonder Woman is operating as Wonder Woman in the 1980s. And, you know, during the Batman versus Superman, people are like, who's this woman? No one knows who she is. They have one cut when she shows up at the mall.
Oh, yeah,
she
yeah.
throws something at the video cameras, just implying that she's like covering her steps.
But she's like doing a lot of crazy stuff. Like, people have to take notice somehow.
Yeah,
but it's fine.
I would assume
it's fine. Do you think because they're just constant prequels with Wonder Woman that it lowers the stakes because we know that everything works out? Obviously,
I guess to some extent. I guess that's a good point.
But I mean, we
know that she's going to save the world.
I'm
we know that she's going to survive.
I'm just curious.
Yeah. Because
this was a lot of what Scorsese was saying in his article about how superhero movies aren't cinema, about stakes and
things
like that.
It's a thrill ride. And yeah, I mean, I think his main point was that the superhero movies are kind of made by committee and that the directors and writers don't necessarily have as much pull as they usually do in a movie that he would make, you know. I think he comes from a certain belief that like the director should sell their vision and the studio or producers buy it and then hands off.
Yeah.
And that's not how these superhero movies are made.
No, and even
I think the director has to come in. Same with Cary Fukunaga in 007. It's like these directors have to come in and they're kind of hired guns. It's like, you know, DC and Warner Brothers, they're handing them the reins, but they're kind of like,
yeah, it's like
they're
going
to have to collaborate much more so than.
And I say that not caring. Like, I was just curious your thought, because you go to any of these movies knowing it's probably going to be fine, but I'm in it for the ride.
It's just another thrill ride.
Yeah, and that's why you go to the movies sometimes.
No, it's a good point. I do think Yeah, it does lessen the stakes a bit, but at the same time, I'm not really going there to see the world possibly ending. I know Wonder Woman's going to save the world.
And Chris Pine might die, but he'll probably be back in the next one.
That's the one.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah, is this going to finally kill off Chris Pine once and for all?
Can't kill off Chris Pine. It's indestructible.
Kid stays in the picture.
His heart is too big. So, Jim.
We're there. We can finally talk about Tenet.
We can. And I was going to ask, I love Christopher Nolan. I think you love him more.
I think I love him a little bit more. But I appreciate, I've always gotten the sense that you're also a fan.
Oh, I'm in. I love it. But like you are, and this is what my question was. As a big time Christopher Nolan fan, what would you call yourself? Like a Nolan head?
Or like a Nolanite.
A Nolanite?
I'm a Nolanite.
Okay.
Yeah.
So like,
that's what we call ourselves.
Is there a membership card?
I actually have read that in like.
That's a real term. The Nolanites?
Yeah, I've read it in comment threads before, being like, you know, Nolanite here. Like, I'm a major
hey, Nolanite number 347 with a question.
Yeah, I'm Nolanite 403. Wow. I got in early.
What does the package come with when you subscribe to the Nolanite fan club? Like a scarf and a tie, an IMAX camera.
It comes with those. Those lens viewers that, you know, he likes to walk around with. You know, the big shot directors always have dangling around their necks.
Okay, cool.
So that, you know, just so they can put it in front of their eyes and scope out their next shot.
Yep.
It comes with a dead wife.
Okay. Tenet.
Bad joke.
Tenet.
I made that joke just so everyone knows. Christopher Nolan. Movies usually feature a protagonist whose wife is dead.
Yeah, his wife
like
is alive.
Comical.
His real wife is alive. She's actually his producer.
Yes.
What's her name, Nolan Knight?
Emma Thompson.
There you go. What'd you think?
I fucking loved this trailer.
You heard it here first. Nolan Knight 457 loves Tenet.
Surprise,
what a
surprise.
Freaking surprise.
We all believe we've run into the burning building. But until we feel that heat, we can never know. You do.
You chose to die instead of giving up your colleagues.
That test you passed? Not everybody does. Welcome to the afterlife.
Give the people what they want, Jim.
All right. I'm just going to say first that the trailer surprised me in some ways. After Dunkirk came out, I was really curious to see how his career was going to continue. Dunkirk was interesting in that he scaled back some of the things that he's known for. He had a really, you know, stripped down, simple story, very little dialogue where people had to explain the mechanics of the plot. There wasn't really any rules to explain about this world that he set up. It was just very simple and straightforward in that regard. And I was wondering if going forward, he was going to continue doing that, if he was going to continue scaling down. Maybe he would start making like smaller, you know, R-rated movies like the ones he did at the beginning of his career. And this movie looks like the most Christopher Nolan movie that Christopher Nolan has ever made. Right? Like,
yeah.
Everything about this trailer is just like, oh my God, this is like a Christopher Nolan movie on steroids.
I know, I kind of wanted to like, just, like, I was picking out all the little like Nolan tropes.
Oh, totally. What did you
how
notice?
How should we play this? Should I try and name what I think some of the tropes were and you tell me, or some of the very like classic Christopher Nolan
You go first.
Things,
yeah.
And tell me if like, check them off if I'm right.
Yeah.
I'll make it like a game.
Yeah.
Okay.
Christopher Nolan trope number one.
Everyone's wearing suits.
I did not write that down, but that's acceptable. That's valid. Everyone's very well dressed.
Yeah, like always in suits.
Yep.
And like a scarf, and it's just, you know, a
hey,
lot of that.
You're in a Nolan movie. You better fucking
dress
for the part. Yeah,
dress up. Okay, number two, sound.
It sounds like a modern update to the Inception trailer music.
Yeah, exactly. It feels a lot like Inception.
Yeah, and it's got that noise that kind of comes in and keeps getting louder. It's not the brah, but it's kind of a new, more electronic, distorted sound coming out. But it's very similar to Inception.
Okay, so
we told listeners at the very beginning, get ready for some deep bass hits.
A lot of that. And I was like, fine, I missed it.
Yeah,
bring it on. Okay, how about this one? Playing with time.
Big time.
Cool.
Even in Dunkirk, which I was saying is a more scaled back Nolan movie, he still had to play with time in it.
That goddamn guy.
He's obsessed with time.
Seriously,
every single movie he's done somehow like references time, except for like the Batman movies, not so much. But Inception, you know, five minutes in this dream world is an hour in this dream world. Interstellar, it's like, you're going to be on that planet for an hour, but it's going to be like 7 years for everyone else. It's like he's always doing something with time.
And to your
Memento, we're going to tell the movie backwards.
Batman, at one point he said, we're running out of time.
I'm sure he did say that at one point.
Okay, how about this? Big practical stunt piece.
Yep. Big set pieces where people are doing pretty extraordinary things. But it looks real and was probably filmed for real.
Yeah, like actually, before I get into what I was going to say, I want to see, are there any others I'm missing?
Yeah, actually, so these aren't necessarily big, broad Nolan tropes. There were certain shots that seemed to be callbacks to other movies of his. The opening shot of the trailer.
It's Batman.
It's the same opening shot of The Dark Knight, except it's at night in a different city. But
even that heist seemed very Dark Knight.
Very much Dark Knight. There's a shot of John David Washington, who's the protagonist, of him putting a silencer on a pistol while infiltrating a compound at night. That same shot is in Inception with Leonardo DiCaprio doing that.
Yep. The car flipping.
The car flipping is very much like a Nolan thing. Meeting Michael Caine in some setting, going through these old gates and having Michael Caine be there. That's totally from Inception.
Michael Caine's always just sitting and like having coffee.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just going to do that.
Get ready for Michael Caine to explain some shit to John David Washington.
It's going to be a lot of things solved with Michael Caine.
For sure. All those things. Did you have any more tropes, Nolan tropes?
Those were my biggest one. It was the sound, the everyone's in suits,
yeah.
Michael Caine sitting in a cafe, the big stunt pieces, and time.
Mm-hmm.
There was also the other thing, actually, which was I thought was a little bit of a callback to Inception. One of the coolest things about this trailer that I didn't notice until the second time I watched it were the subtle cues of going backwards. There's an awesome scene with where they're on this ship, and you don't really think about it. They're just on a ship, and then it cuts to them talking on the ship. But the ship's going backwards, and the waves are coming into the ship.
Yeah,
it's cool.
Yeah, I also didn't get that at first.
Same.
I rewatched. It's a great example of a trailer that's moving pretty fast, and it is kind of packing some story in there. But it's interesting enough and going fast enough that it never feels sluggish. And the things that you might be confused about the first time seeing it, you can go back and rewatch and understand better the second time, the third time around. I also, the first time I saw it earlier today, I wasn't sure if things were happening backwards. I was like, something's going
up. Yeah, something's weird.
Like, some of the scenes are like, are they going backwards? The car chase, I was like, is Robert Pattinson driving backwards or is time going by backwards?
Which was awesome.
Yeah.
Same with the bungee scene at the beginning.
The rappelling. Now you go back,
you're like, oh.
When I first saw that, I thought it was like, oh, there must be some sort of crazy pulley system that they're using that like brings them forward. But no, it has to be some
backwards.
Sort of time manipulation.
And I think that's going to be the biggest thing with this. Also, so two things. One, I couldn't.
You see the cop on the floor getting dragged
it's
backwards.
Awesome.
You're like, what? Yeah.
So I wanted to two things. One, Tenet, I just before the podcast realized that you could spell it. It's spelled the same backwards. It's what's that called?
I think it's called an anagram.
An anagram? I don't know. I obviously do not know.
Bruce.
What this called?
Bruce, can you get on this,
Bruce? Oh, we got a new intern, by the way. Bruce, who's great. He actually pays us to intern here.
Mm-hmm.
Bruce. Bruce, you're fired.
No, it's not an anagram.
It's a monopod. An anic bro. It's a homonym. Let me guess. It's a dolomite.
Keep going.
It's called a Macintosh. An ambionic.
You're way off.
Okay.
But it's okay. I was way off too. It's called a palindrome.
A palindrome. I thought that was, yep.
Samsonite. I was way off.
Palindrome.
It's called a palindrome.
Palindrome.
Yeah, Tenet. It's spelled palindrome. The same way forward and backward.
Have you watched the trailer backwards?
No. Great question, though.
Right? I haven't either, but I just thought about this.
I kind of want to do it right now. Let's stop recording right now and watch it backwards.
You want to?
No.
Okay. I was like, I'm in. But it's probably like a thing where you can watch it backwards and things will look a certain way. But
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't want things to be too spoiled for me, though.
But I bet you that this is a Nolan thing, where I bet that's a thing.
I mean, this is broadly a Nolan thing, which is he likes to make action movies. I think if you were to label his genre of movie making, it would be action, first and foremost. But close behind that is science fiction. There's always some sort of mind-bending component to his movies. Not always, but usually. And this... that's what kind of elevates this above a more standard espionage movie, is that it has this crazy supernatural thing happening. And I like how the trailer doesn't overtly address it. It doesn't say like, hey, we got this thing.
Hey, what's up?
That I have no idea how it works, but I like how it just shows it and teases it. But that's a Nolan trope, I think. That's probably the biggest one, is that he does action movies that have a heavy science fiction bent to them.
Another Nolan thing, actually, but this isn't in the trailer, doing the prologue before a movie. So IMAX.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I was going to, before we forget, if this Tenet trailer piqued your interest and you're really excited for this movie, you should know that word on the street is the Tenet prologue is going to appear before Star Wars The Rise of Skywalker in select IMAX theaters.
And you know it's going to be cool.
It's going to be cool. Nolan has done this with some of his earlier Batman movies, The Dark Knight Rises.
And Dark Knight.
And The Dark Knight, the bank heist scene from The Dark Knight was in.
He also did with Dunkirk.
Did he?
Yeah.
I didn't know about that. They showed the first 6 minutes of Dunkirk?
I think it was the first. I know there was like a big Dunkirk chunk.
Hmm. Yeah, I wasn't aware of that. Well, but I'm definitely considering going to see Star Wars in IMAX now. I wanted to mention a couple other things, in that not only does this movie seem to be making callbacks to other Nolan movies, it's like there's a lot of things happening in this movie, a lot of elements, you know, present in this trailer that... are borrowed from pretty recent action movies. I'm thinking passing a high stakes test to get into this like elite, you know, spy society or group, the Kingsman.
Yeah.
That's taken right from the Kingsman. Being, you know, claimed dead on paper officially, which then allows you to operate as a ghost and go around certain rules and restrictions. That's from a little movie that's out right now called Six Underground with Ryan Reynolds. It's a Michael Bay movie.
I don't think he got it.
Premise. All I'm saying is the individual elements from this movie, on their own, there's nothing new about them. But it's the way he's combined them into something, is the way he's done that is very fresh and original. I was even going to say the going back in time thing, the time manipulation thing. That's very, very similar to how the Time Stone works in this whole Avengers saga with Doctor Strange.
True.
They don't, you know, with that time stone, they don't necessarily go back in time, but they're able to control how time
but
operates.
It feels new still.
Yeah, but I think it's how it's all packaged.
Yeah,
and repurposed.
Okay, I'll take that.
And even towards the end of the trailer, it kind of feels like The Matrix. I've actually known that Christopher Nolan's always been a really big fan of The Matrix.
Makes a lot
of sense. That heavily inspired Inception.
They're all wearing
kind
of
doing that too. What the character says at the end is like, there's like, you don't have to completely understand it. You have to feel it though, or something like that. It kind of reminded me of Morpheus's statement in The Matrix. Was like, you have to see it for yourself.
Yeah.
It's just teasing this big other world. What did we know about?
Of his movies, what did it remind you the most of?
Inception.
Yeah, me too.
Inception. Because Inception is his other movie that is the closest to like a Bond movie.
And this one
seems to be the closest to that too.
And in Inception,
it's an espionage
movie. And you're always in these also great locations, and the scenes are so different, and you have no idea how they can... And when that trailer came out, it was similar. Where I'm like, I have no idea what this is.
I'm hoping it's better than Inception. My one big hot take about Christopher Nolan movies is that Inception is his most overrated movie.
And that's where you and I differ.
I know. I think it's your favorite one, right?
It's not my... Dark Knight's my favorite.
Dark Knight is my favorite, Inception might be like my least favorite.
I think Inception.
That or The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. But I love Inception. But I'm for this. It's exciting. I'm glad that the Nolanites are happy.
The Nolanites are very happy.
Is there a Nolanite like meeting about it or message board?
I haven't met with them yet to go over this trailer, but I'm counting on everyone being very happy.
I'm sure. Mm-hmm. But they won't really say it. They'll just kind of smirk.
I got a question for you. We're talking about two spy movies. Why do we like this one better than the Bond one?
Because we have to think about it, and we don't really know what it is.
Yeah, and it's not explaining too much.
No, and not only that, I mean, we know what Bond is. Mm-hmm. Like, there's a formula to Bond.
There's a lot of story in the Tenet trailer. It is unpacking a lot. Like, the first time watching it, I was like, whoa, what's happening? Okay, what? He's taking the cyanide thing?
It's exactly what we said about Bond. Like, we don't watch Bond for the story, really. We watch for all those other things. For the Nolan, for you Nolanites, like, his stories are crazy, and we really want to know what's going on, and there's always something there that you don't know, and you're trying to find it. That's why it's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's because, I don't know, we're not just watching a formula. And all the Bond people can be mad at me for that, but
no, true. I think you're right. The Bond movies have a certain formula and a certain thing that they're known for,
Nolan does the Nolan tropes we did, but those are also kind of, you know, specific, and it's not as big of a thing. To us, it's funny, but I think his movies are so original, and that's the other thing. It's an original film. It's not a franchise. It's not a sequel.
We talked about Bond, which is the 25th entry in that franchise.
And we talked about
Wonder Woman, which is the sequel to Wonder Woman
one of many new DC original
movies.
And we've known about it for a while, but we didn't really know what it was about. We even talked about the super teaser.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like, oh, what's this going to be? That's why.
Thankfully, I didn't have to do a dramatic reenactment of this trailer.
That was amazing, I thought.
Thank you. So that is all. Did you want to mention any other trailers before we go? Any honorable mentions?
I mean, I'd say Ghostbusters. Quick.
Ghostbusters Afterlife.
I found this in my living room.
Whoa, killer replica.
A replica of what?
A ghost trap? There hasn't been a ghost sighting in 30 years. New York in the 80s? It's like The Walking Dead. Your dad never mentioned this to you?
It's just my mom. My grandfather died. My mom says we're just here to pick through the rubble of his life.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
It reminded me a lot of the Force Awakens opening trailer.
And
someone told me at work that there's an article that compares the two, which I thought was really interesting.
I didn't catch that.
I thought it was a fun trailer. I'm a little over the Stranger Things vibe, which I thought they were really going in on, and also to have Finn Wolfhard.
It's got Finn Wolfhard in it, so it's always going to have
too
that.
Too much on the nose. And the only thing also...
To be fair to this movie... Stranger Things was cribbing from Ghostbusters first. So when Ghostbusters starts leaning into what people love about it, you can't blame it so much for I think it's stepping on Stranger Things.
I think it's just also with it also basically being Stranger Things and like all these, you know, similarities. Other than that, I thought it was fun. I do miss a little bit of the idea of having like a new team. I always liked Ghostbusters for the team, and I thought that would be cool. I mean,
like,
I could,
so these kids—that's what I'm.
It seems piecemeal. I'm left puzzling. Like,
so these kids are the team.
It's like two kids and Paul Rudd, maybe. Mm-hmm. But like, I wanted like a team.
I got really excited when I started hearing Bill Murray's voice because I thought it was gonna like segue into like Bill Murray in the present day being there, and it ended up just being a soundbite that they lifted from the very first movie.
Yeah. I think there will be some fun cameos.
My main criticism for the Ghostbusters Afterlife trailer, it's not funny.
Ah.
Ghostbusters is an action comedy franchise. I understand, like, you know, I think why the other Ghostbusters, recent Ghostbusters movie, wasn't very successful. The one with the, you know, Kristen Wiig and Kate McKinnon. I think they leaned probably too much hard into the comedy. And
that's a good point.
And didn't appreciate the action enough and didn't try to make it a suspenseful action movie. This movie seems to be swinging right in the opposite way. It's leaning into it being this kind of epic action movie. And I kept waiting for jokes.
It could be more fun. It's just the trailer tone wasn't at all. But no. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Jim, have a great holiday break.
You as well. And you too, listeners.
You too, listeners. I hope you get all the things you wanted. You see the people you love. That you have a great new year. And hopefully we'll have more of these podcasts in the new year.
We will.
We'll probably have like at least three next year.
Well, I haven't gone over this with you yet, but I can tell them what they can count on our next episode being.
What's that?
It's going to be a list of the best trailers of 2019.
That sounds great.
If not the 2010s in general, because it's the end of a decade.
All right, I'm in.
I thought about proposing to you.
I do.
Shut up. I thought about doing that this episode, but then I thought, you know what? The year's not over yet.
It's a very good point.
Tenet trailer just came out today. That could factor into our best of lists. Let's wait until 2019 is over before we start compiling any best of lists. But how does that sound, AJ?
That sounds great.
All right. Listeners, you heard it here. AJ and I have made an agreement. Our next episode is going to be a best of 2019 trailers.
And we'll see you there, or we'll see you on
another time.
Peace out. Happy New Year.
Trailer Made.
A podcast for the trailer-loving community.